Welcome to episode one of It's That Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Give him hell, Jason.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend. This is a podcast about two guys. We've been friends for roughly 20 years. And we have these kind of cool conversations in the pub over a couple Two Tree beers. And then one day I'm like, God, this would make a decent pod. Listen to this. Make a good podcast, you know, whatever. So we decided to go ahead and try one. So this is us shooting the shit about stuff and things. So let's go to topic one right off the bat. What do we got?
The preview that we sent
out. The snippet, I guess. The elephant in the room. Yeah.
Last week.
Look.
We're geniuses.
I've never been more happy to be wrong.
Right?
Right? Like, the Eagles fulfilled our dreams of the Patriots losing the Super Bowl. Right?
Right.
Even though we were like, whatever the line is, just give it. Just take the Patriots. It doesn't matter.
They're not the game. Given the Eagles 4.5, I went, not enough.
And then in Vegas, they got murdered, by the way. They took in a record $138 million in handle.
Mm-hmm.
They made like $1 million profit.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they're gunning for 10%.
That's a bad beat for Vegas.
Yeah, they're gunning for 10% because what the lines do and what they are they try to even the money out, right? So the losers pay the winners, and they just take the juice. So 10% is kind of what you're looking for. I think it was like 0.7%.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Not good.
It's about time they got a black eye.
Well, like we talked about on the snippet, was that there were some pretty big wagers on the Eagles, straight money line. I think the money line was plus 150 or something like that, or plus 160. Like a $3 million bet. There was a couple million-dollar bets. I'm sure several six-figure bets. Then they just got... Look, I got no sympathy for it because that's what they want. They want to take your money. That's kind of the whole point.
You want to see what Floyd puts his money on and then go the other way.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's... Yes. But, you know, look, I'll own it. 100% own it. I was wrong, and I've never been more happier to be wrong, quite frankly.
So there was a lot of fallout after the Super Bowl, Joe.
Yeah, big time.
Brady sliding Foles seems to be under the microscope. Now, in talking earlier, you were like, he slided everybody. He didn't shake anybody's hand.
I don't think he did. I don't think
he turned tail and ran.
I think he did. I think he was embarrassed. I think he just didn't. He couldn't handle the losing.
That's apparently a bad look.
That's a very bad look.
Yeah, when people look at you as a entitled fashion plate crybaby.
Yeah.
Not shaking somebody's hand. That's, you know, come on. You learned that in seventh grade.
It's Bush.
It is.
It's completely Bush League.
All right. We'll leave that alone. Malcolm Butler on the bench. Man. Talk to me about that.
So it came out on Twitter somewhere. Somebody put a report up. Excuse me. That Malcolm Butler. The story goes like this. This is what I read on Twitter. This is what somebody else reported. I'm not reporting this, so this is not my word, right? Just so in case anybody's listening that wants to sue me, I didn't report this. Somebody else did. But it was reported that Malcolm Butler, the night before the game, broke curfew, had weed on him, and the coaches chewed his shit, and he got into it with the coaches that night. That's what came out on Twitter. Whether that's true or not, again, it's the internet, it's Twitter. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. And then Malcolm Butler released a statement.
Let's be fair. Yeah. His agent released a statement.
His agent released a statement saying that he didn't do any of these things. He didn't have weed. He didn't break curfew.
He was with his family every night of the week of the Super Bowl.
Right. That none of this was true. And again, it's he said, she said. So it's like, who do you believe? The only thing I know is this. Bill Belichick is going to do everything in his power to win with the people that are on his side. Right?
I would agree with that.
If Malcolm Butler did something, rephrase this. If Malcolm Butler didn't do anything like he claims he did, he would have been playing the game. Unquestionably.
I can't see any way around that.
And this is the kid that had the interception in the Super Bowl against Seattle to give the Patriots the victory.
That's correct.
So don't sit there and tell me. And he played in the first two playoff games.
He played 98% of every snap of the season.
Yeah. Don't tell me that he's not going to play, right? Yeah. Because you didn't think that he was capable. That's a load of crap.
It is. And he won't be a Patriot next year.
No.
So Well,
and I literally can't wrap my head around a coach benching a player in the Super Bowl that has led you to this point for the last, what, 2-3 years that he's been a Patriot and not play him at all? No snaps? He played one snap on a punt return. That's it.
Oh, well, he was special teams.
On the only punt. He played on that. But he didn't. He had zero snaps on defense. You can't tell me that he didn't do something wrong.
Well, he cried during the national anthem, and people, like, figured it out then.
Yeah, but he knows what he did.
Right.
And it's one thing to paint the picture of, I didn't do anything.
You have to for the next team that's going to take
it. Right, but your actions clearly are that you're upset about something, and that's the reason you're not playing.
That's the way it looks.
Sure does. So, I mean, I don't know. He can come to us and play for the Bears anytime he wants. So just come on over.
One last thing about the yeah. Super Bowl that made me think. Atlanta got after New England last year. I mean,
in the first half.
So crazily.
In the first half.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't believe that they were in the backfield. And they like burned every ounce of energy that they had.
Right.
And the Eagles didn't do that.
No. They didn't have to.
No.
I mean, Doug Peterson, to his credit, discredit, credit, he won the damn game, but he was so aggressive on offense. Like, he took Nick Foles, and my feelings on Nick Foles are pretty clear. He's awful.
He's a serviceable backup.
He's serviceable, I guess.
Yeah.
But he led them. I mean, he put.
He's a Super Bowl MVP.
He's a Super Bowl MVP.
Let's do not forget.
Right, I know, but come on. Like, you know, Timo Perez has World Series rings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean Timo Perez is a good player. Right place, right time. Right?
So does Jeff Blum.
He even has, I believe he has back-to-back World Series rings. Timo Perez, 2005 with the Sox, 2006 with the Cardinals. Whatever, exactly. Just keep it. But look, just because you have a ring doesn't mean you're good, right? It means you're on a good team.
I got you.
Like, and, you know, more power to the Patriots. Good luck with.
Nick Foles is in the Trent Dilfer team picture.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, I agree with
that. But he made himself some
money.
But
he performed.
Yes, he did.
You know, he performed on the biggest stage. And that a lot of that probably goes to Doug Peterson's coaching and Doug Peterson's attitude of shove it down their throat, which is how you beat the Patriots, and clearly that's what happened.
Threw three touchdowns, caught one.
Yeah. Caught a touchdown.
Tom Terrific couldn't catch one.
No. Nor could Tom the Engineer. Right, Tom?
Tommy.
He's nodding his head. He understands. He understands where we're coming from. He gets it. He gets us. So,
all right. So moving on from the Super Bowl to NFL news.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing in the NFL to you, Joe?
Josh McDaniels.
Punking out
the Colts. Now, here's the problem that I keep hearing on social media and on sports radio is that allegedly I don't know if he hired assistant coaches, but the Colts certainly did hire some assistant coaches, right?
Yes.
To work for him in the whole nine yards.
Correct.
Move their families, all that, for the opportunity to work with the great Josh McDaniels, right?
Wah, wah,
and then, sad trombone. Out. And I, look.
Listen.
Listen. I understand not wanting to coach the Colts if you're Josh McDaniels, but then why would you lead them along other than one of two things? One, he did it on purpose because of Deflategate.
That's too shady.
It seems shady and petty.
Yeah.
But the second thing is Belichick got to him, which is what I guess what happened. Belichick said, all right, I'm going to give you all the keys of the kingdom here in the Patriots. I'm going to coach for another X years, 3, 4, whatever that is, and then you're going to take over. You're going to be the anointed one from here on out. That's the only thing I can think of. And that's the only reason why you would do it. And if that's the case, if Belichick did that, why didn't he do it right after the season ended so that McDaniels wouldn't have to go through all this crap?
Right.
Right?
I get that. Belichick's word means a lot.
It does. Carries a lot of weight.
Tim Tebow will tell you that.
Yes.
Went to Mr. Bill and said, hey, I got a book deal. opportunity that's going to do me $2 million.
Yeah.
And Bill said, yeah, I'd rather you didn't. Yeah, could you not? A week later, cut.
No, yeah. Cut. We'll see you. We'll see you.
No deal. Cut.
No, no cut. Right. And look, the Colts, in my opinion, and this is why I have a podcast, so I can give my opinion on shit like this, they're going to have a better head coach than Josh McDaniels.
That's fair.
Right?
I mean, you've seen the track record in Denver.
You saw the train wreck that happened in Denver.
It was.
You see him pulling this crap on the Colts. McDaniels is not going to get touched. Nobody is going to even knock on his door for a head coaching gig. And if everything goes south in New England, if they end up, if Brady retires and they end up with Brian Hoyer leading them to a 4-12 season, that's going to be on McDaniels' head. He's not going to get another gig. Why would you hire this guy?
Correct.
No, for any position, not even just head coach, for any position.
I've got a third option for you.
Yeah.
McDaniels is knee deep in this. He's ready to go. He's ready to pull the trigger.
Yep.
They get closer and closer, and finally they say, hey, you know what? I'm not sure that Andrew Luck's going to be back next year.
That's also another angle that I heard. Yeah, for
and
sure.
And you know what? He may not be that good again ever right. again.
No.
So is it fair for him to pull out at that point?
No.
Hello.
Because they could just draft the quarterback. Right, if they thought, because they got a high draft pick, right?
Right.
They can go and get Josh Rosen or anybody or whoever else is available
right.
in the top part of the draft.
But
they can just go out and draft another quarterback, and then Andrew Luck can take another year off if he wants.
The Colts have been playing the Patriots and Packers game, yeah. though, by saying, this is our guy. We're going to build around him.
Sure.
Except they won't get in any receivers.
Nope.
And a running game.
Sounds like the Bear.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A wee bit.
A skosh.
Speaking of the Bear,
yeah,
they got new personnel this week.
They did. They hired Brad Childress as an offensive consultant.
Skull.
Which is odd to me. Not super odd, but it's just funny, weird, haha. Like, I don't get if you went out and hired, like, you know, Nagy to be the offensive guy there, and you went and got Shefflin to be the OC, I don't understand why you would need a third offensive genius in the room.
The only thing I can think of is he wouldn't become unretired. He really wants to be.
Yeah, maybe he just wants to away from it. He wants some action.
He wants to, you know, he's friends with Nagy. He wanted to help him out.
Yep.
Throw him a few ideas.
Yeah.
But not like an everyday.
He doesn't want to be the OC.
Correct.
Because that's everyday crap.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Film work. And he just wants to go, hey, try this play.
You know, right? That's
it.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of trying
this worked once.
Speaking of trying to work the play that Foles caught the touchdown on.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it from the Bears. I know. Like, what? He admitted afterwards, yeah, we saw tape of the Bears doing this play.
Ugh.
I'm like, okay.
Insult to injury.
Yeah, man. Just get some.
All know? Right, I'm over football.
Yeah, it's over. We're done. Good luck for next season, everybody.
Now talk to me about the MLB,
yeah.
What we have to look forward to as far as trades and the potential logjam that's happening at this point.
It's kind of weird in that there are a bunch of free agents like Arrieta, Darvish, go on and on and on. Many high-priced free agents.
Cobb.
That haven't been signed.
Yeah.
By anybody.
Right.
And it's February 8th as we record this. Why? What is the deal? And the owners, I mean, how do you not get nailed for collusion on this? Like, if the MLBPA goes to court, how do you not?
Right.
Clearly, this is the owners going, we're not going to pay that anymore.
And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I get that.
Sure.
And it's not so much the dollar amount. It's the amount of years.
Right.
I mean, if you looked at our good friend Jim Hendry. Hey, Hendry. Yeah, giving people 6 years and no trade option, and it's ridiculous.
Look at Albert Pujols' contract. You don't think the Angels regret that contract every single at-bat that dude plays? He can barely walk.
It's like a hockey contract,
yeah.
Though, in the old days.
Yeah, well, now. I'm Brent Seabrook. Anyway, yeah, it's – look, these guys are going to have to sign eventually. Spring training starts next week.
Right. Or
literally
or not. I mean, Darvish has hinted, I'll go to Japan. If I don't get paid here, I'm back.
Yeah. I mean, and there's talk I saw on Twitter yesterday. There's talk of a free agent training camp. They're going to do one.
Wow.
The MLBPA wants to do a free agent training camp.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. So these guys can still work out. Sure. People can come see them work out.
You got five jewels and maybe like 40 bums 40, that might not make a right. roster.
Exactly. 40 AAA guys. And you, Darvish, and Jake Arrieta. Right, exactly. I mean, it's the fact that you guys haven't been signed yet is fishy. Real fishy. Right?
Well, like, it's collusion, baby.
It has to be. How is it not?
Right?
Like, how do you not? If you're the union, how the hell do you not sue these guys for collusion?
Coming from the standpoint of the owner,
yeah.
Not that I would ever really want to do that, but how do you institute change if you don't do something like this? Otherwise, it keeps going the same way that it has.
You just got to get it back at collective bargaining somehow.
Yeah. It is a CBA.
Big time. And yeah. I don't know what you do. The problem is the baseball players union is one of the strongest unions in sports. So I'm kind of surprised that the owners, after getting nailed last time, would even sniff the thought of collusion, right?
The number of people that left watching baseball last time, and now with millennials thinking, oh, it's too long. Yeah. I can't sit through a whole game. Yeah. I can't do this. I can't do that.
Yep.
I mean, they went to throwing balls in the stands, Joe. I mean, they went to like minor league.
Yeah. There's some teams, it sucks, who already do this, who have been doing it for a long time.
Having a shower out there in the outfield?
That's right, big shower in the outfield.
Okay.
And look, the White Sox are not getting... Now here comes... I just thought of a question. Here you go. Ready for this one. Here we go. Can the Sox... Do you think the Sox, on a younger-ish free agent, can sneak in under the radar and pay and get a discount on a guy they thought they couldn't afford?
No.
Like, do you think that... Like, if Alex Cobb's a free agent, for example, that they could go, you know what? We're one pitcher away from being 500 or higher possible playoff spot, wild card thing. Let's go sign Alex Cobb, but we can get him cheaper because the market has dropped for everybody. You know, the tide's gone out, so to speak.
Asked and answered, my friend. No.
No? You don't think so?
I do not.
So I think
these guys are going to take a knee. I think they will sit out. I think they will hit spring training without these cats having a team. And before the season starts,
I'm willing to bet
they'll have a team.
And I will
somebody's going to pay.
I will guess that they will eventually they'll sign before their spring training games start.
Before the games start.
Spring
Absolutely.
Training games.
Right.
They will sign somewhere.
Pitchers and catchers on Monday.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like three days away, they're not going to sign over the weekend.
Correct.
But I think before games actually begin, I think you start seeing a, for lack of a better word, tidal wave of signings. I think once one happens, like if Darvish happens or Arrieta happens,
right.
And that's just going to snowball, domino effect, whatever euphemism you want to use, to getting a chunk of guys signed.
Now, Theo getting Chris Jimenez... Is that a...
I'm sure it doesn't hurt.
It's a flyer.
A, it's a flyer. And B, the guys...
He got a minor league contract.
You need
it's really not costing you anything.
Correct. It's in the Cubs world, it's costing you nothing.
Correct.
Basically. And the problem is this. Not really a problem, but they need a backup catcher. And you're not going to...
Caratini, my friend.
Do you want him backing up or do you want him playing every day?
I want him backing up.
Do you want him playing every day at... a different position other than catcher.
I don't want another Schwarber.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
Caratini's a serviceable catcher.
Yeah. But is he...
I don't think as bad as that good to play the field.
If you want to develop him at all,
uh-huh.
Playing 150 games in Iowa is better than playing 40 games in the majors.
I think he's past Iowa.
Could he be a 4A player?
Quite possibly.
Because the White Sox have had a litany of them in their career. So
what are you talking about? Tyler Flowers is in Atlanta now, Joe.
Scott Ruffcorn. picture, for those of you who don't know who Scott Ruffcorn is, go online and look it up. But Scott Ruffcorn, AAA, was like Cy Young, like 12-1, ERA of 2.5, striking out, you know, strikeout to walk ratio of like 6-1. Bring him up, like, okay, he's ready. Bring him up and just gets his ass beat. He could never pitch in the major leagues. He pitched AAA, was great, but then he brought him up to, that was as high as he was going to get. I'm not going to say Caratini's that guy because I'm not a Cubs fan, and B, it doesn't make sense that he's that guy because you already have Wilson Contreras.
Right. And I don't think he's the next Wilson Contreras.
And like you said, you're not going to move Wilson Contreras.
Right.
Because he's gotten he has a foundation of being a very good catcher.
He's my number one trade piece, Caratini, at this point.
Yeah, exactly. He's the guy you trade.
Correct.
For something you need in June.
Yeah.
But Caratini, in that case then, Caratini has to go to Iowa and kill it. You're not going to get a lot for him sitting on the bench here playing a game a week.
Well, if you showcase him,
Him in Iowa.
All right.
Have him play every day.
All right.
But Contreras is the man. I'll say that. I 100% admit, for the record, we should probably preface this by saying, Jason's a Cubs fan. I am a Sox fan. But I am not that Sox fan. I don't hate the Cubs. They're just another team to me. I don't care.
Right.
So I have no vested interest in hating on Vincent Caratini or any other Cub. I don't care. Like, it's not, they're just another team to me. They're Tampa Bay. They're the Angels. They're the only teams that I hate are the Twins with a passion. Sorry, Twins fans that may be listening to this podcast, but I will not expletive that. I will just say sorry. and to a lesser extent, the Tigers and the Indians. But the Twins, I hate. That's the team I hate.
And hate's a very strong word, Joe.
As a young man
growing up and you're hearing the album with Marlo Thomas, Free to Be You and Me, I never really wanted to focus on hate.
No.
However, the only team I hate more than the NFL Packers would be the MLB St. Louis Cardinals.
I do hate the Packers. And I understand how you hate the Cardinals.
Well.
And if you want to laugh riot, literally, if you want to sit back for hours of entertainment.
Best fans in baseball, Joe.
Yeah, best fans in baseball on Twitter. It is utterly hilarious Cubs trolling. It's just you read that and you just shake your head and you're like, there are people on this earth that think this way.
Exactly. And you wonder, if you get divorced, are you still cousins or does that work?
Exactly. Like, damn it, does this ever end? Like, when will it end? Because I don't want to worry about this anymore.
Well, it's going to end now, Joe, because we're going to the NHL.
Let's do that.
Why don't you tell me about what happened last night?
All right. So, as a Blackhawks fan growing up and everything else, there was a rivalry a few years ago with the Vancouver Canucks. They had a player on their team, a little runt called Alex Burrows. Now, he was the dirtiest player on a dirty team. Stone cold fact.
I'm conjuring a Danny Ainge, a Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm thinking runt, dirty, but a dirtier team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just douchebag of epic proportions.
Okay.
So he plays for Ottawa now, right? And they were playing New Jersey Devils, and Taylor Hall hit him clean. 100% clean. And you can see this on NHL.com. You can look up NHL player safety. There's video of it. And of the explanation by the NHL, which is why I love the NHL player safety Twitter. Because they put out a video and they tell you why. They tell you all the circumstances behind the play. Why he got the penalty. Why he got suspended, etc., etc., right? So, beyond that. Burrows, clean hit. Got nailed by Taylor Hall. Burrows took exception to it. Scrum in front of the net. Everything seemed okay because Burrows was on one side of the scrum. Hall was on the other side of the scrum. They were separated by, I don't know, six players. Hall then spins off to maybe go to the bench to get water, maybe just to take his position on the faceoff, whatever. Burrows jumps him, basically. Starts rabbit punching. For those of you who don't know what a rabbit punch is, it's when you punch somebody in the back of the head, basically, back of the neck and the head. He's rabbit punching him, and then in a frenzy, begins to knee him in the head.
While
Taylor Hall's face is on the ice, not being able to defend himself, Burrows proceeds to lift his leg in the air and drop his knee to the side of Taylor Hall's head at least twice, maybe three times.
I believe the kids call that a curb stomp, Joe.
It is. As hard as humanly possible. And he got suspended for 10 games. And in my opinion, that bastard should be kicked out of the league. He is not what the NHL represents. The whole point of the lockout, when they came back from the lockout, was to make the game a game of skill, not a game of brute force, which is what it had become up to the point of the lockout. It was all hitting, checking, fighting, being as physical as possible with the other team. And I like physical hockey, don't get me wrong. I'm a Blackhawks fan, of course I do, right?
You sound like a girl, Joe.
I know, right? You sound like a girl. But there's no room in today's NHL for a guy like Alex Burrows.
So if we're looking at a spectrum here. We're looking at a Bob Probert on one side and Europe on the other. European hockey.
Europe.
You are looking for somewhere in the middle is what you would like.
Yeah. But
you would like
European
contact
hockey right.
With high scoring.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want Bob. Well, here's the thing about Bob Probert.
Right.
And all goons. So all goons. So we're talking, you know, whoever, Derek Bugard, Stu Grimson, whoever you want to talk about. Any
Stu
goon.
Stu Grimson.
My guy. John Scott, whoever you want to talk about. They fought head to head. It was, they would, or
nothing sneaky, nothing dirty. I'm the bigger man.
It was, you want to go?
And we're going to go. Like,
yeah, we're going to go. And then they fought.
Throw the gloves down.
There was a, believe it or not, there was a code, right? There was a way to do things when you were going to have a hockey fight.
Kind of like prison with pedophiles, Joe? Is that what you're telling me?
Not exactly.
Okay.
No. But there was a code to it all. You didn't cheap shot them. You didn't dirty them up. I'm not saying those guys didn't necessarily do that, but for the most part, there was a code.
When it comes to the actual fight.
Correct.
Right.
Right. There was a code to the fight. That now is gone because all the enforcers are gone. So now you get guys like Burns.
No more goons.
Or Matt Cook was another guy that was like that post-lockout. Just dirty shots to the head, shots to the knee type plays because they couldn't play the game. They couldn't keep up with the game that was going on in front of them.
It was too fast.
They had to earn their spot and keep their spot on the bench and keep their contract and keep their money.
Sure.
So they had to start doing crap like Burrows did. So Burrows gets 10. My opinion, if they kicked him out of the league at some point, I'd be perfectly okay with that. 100% on board.
Yeah, that's out of order. There's no place for that.
No, not in this NHL. There's none. And you want guys like, you know, the young guys like Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews and Alex DeBrincat for the Hawks and, you know, even some of the old guard like Crosby and Ovechkin. You want those guys to shine. That brings a positive light into your league. And I'm not saying don't defend them or whatever. Don't hit them even. Don't check them. Play the game right. Be smart about it. A rising tide raises all ships.
Right.
If those guys, like those big studs and Kane to a certain extent, if they can bring more money and visibility to the league, a good visibility to raise up the tide, to raise all ships, and everybody gets paid more because there's a salary cap based on the percentage of revenue, rising tide raises all ships. So let's get that done. Get rid of these guys. There's no place for them.
I think Mr. Zawoski would agree with you.
Yeah, there's no place for them.
Speaking of Jay, let's bring it back to local. Our Blackhawks are 0 for February.
Yeah, they're bad.
Is there an answer?
Nope.
Corey Crawford coming back? Is that going to?
No. No. This team got old and slow bad in a hurry. They can't score enough goals, and they can't play defense good enough to not let up enough goals to win games. They can't do it for whatever reason. They'll get a period of offense. Maybe a period of good defense, maybe a period of good goaltending, but they can never put it all together like the Stanley Cup teams. And at this point, quite frankly, we shouldn't expect them to. You've got guys under bad contracts like Seabrook and Duncan Keith, and to a certain extent, Jonathan Toews has supremely underperformed. Kane has still performed at a level, but even he's down, but that's because he's got nobody around him. Like, you know, everybody thought, oh, well, we'll get Brandon Saad back. That's the cure-all, right? That'll get Taze going. That'll get the whole thing going. And Crawford got hurt, and that's obviously he's a top five NHL goalie when he's on. That's not going to help him now. It's too late now. They're not going to make the playoffs. I wish it were different. As a Hawks fan, I don't want to see a playoff less, a playoff without the Hawks in it.
When was the last time the Hawks missed the playoffs 2 years in a row?
Back when they were really, really bad.
I was going to say pre-Taves and Kane, for
sure. Oh, yeah. Right, that era there where they were drawing 5,000 people to a game.
Oof.
Yeah. But they just...
You could still get Chelly's Chili, though.
You could. Flat out, brother. You know it. But they need to do something. And I don't even know what they can really do, because the people that they could deal, they can't deal. Either their contract sucks, or their skills have diminished, or a combination of both. Brent Seabrook. And it's not like they have some people in the pipeline, but when you're drafting as high as they've been drafting, or low technically, I guess, when you're drafting in the 20s, in the NHL draft, because you've been so good over the past 10 years roughly, you got to pay the price. That's the way the NHL works.
Speaking of salary cap, Joe, let's go to the other league that has one.
The league, the association,
the community. Talk to me about NBA trades of consequence that had happened recently.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Jameer Nelson for Willie Reed.
Because that changed everything in the Bulls landscape.
Correct.
That trade happened. The big trade, I'm not going to get into ended up who ended up where, but let's just talk about the big name that went. This is Isaiah Thomas. Went to the Laker. And there was a bunch of three-way deals and assorted trades and stuff like that. The crux of it is Isaiah Thomas is now a Laker off the Cavaliers.
Correct. Which he told cameras he was not happy about being traded.
And I'm going to, on this very podcast.
You're calling shenanigans?
I'm calling bullshit.
Oh.
Or shenanigans. Right. Look, here's the thing. Anybody on a team with LeBron James, you are second fiddle. It doesn't matter how good you are. That goes for when he played in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. He was the man. Or his first run with the Cavs. LeBron James is
the man in the NBA.
He's the NBA.
Correct.
Right?
He's Michael Jordan.
He is Michael Jordan right now. He's that level.
Right.
Right? Like, you're not going to not.
No.
And if you think by some strange thing that you're going to end up on a team with him and then you're going to be the man. No, that's not the way it works.
So when Kyrie was there before LeBron.
Yeah.
And he was the man.
He was.
That's hard to give up. Yes. Especially as a young guy.
Once you have it.
Yeah.
Once you get the taste of it, like Isaiah Thomas in Boston, once you get the taste of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You want, that's all you want.
But again, as a young guy, Dwayne Wade was happy to step aside in Miami.
Well, Dwayne Wade's a different guy.
Right.
As a rule, right? Well, but he still understood his role.
That's the thing, because he's an older guy. He's more mature.
Not to quote The Rock, but know your role. Like, he knew that, okay, if I just let him be the man, let him, even when, Shaq, whatever, that having this guy on your team is going to mean championships. At the very least, conference championships, maybe NBA championships. I'm sure not a lot of people care about conference championships, but he's going to make you a better team, and he's going to put you in a position to win the NBA championship. That's my point.
Correct.
So if you're mature enough and can handle it enough, great. Not many people can do that. I think I figured out why, though.
Okay.
Why Dwayne Wade let it go? Because he's a Chicago guy, that's why.
All right.
That's right. We just all about the team. Anyway, but Isaiah Thomas, not shocked at all that he's a Laker. And not even that. I think he's going to flourish there because he's going to be the guy.
He's going to be the guy.
It's going to be his team to run. He's going to be the big dog. And everybody said kind of at that point, what's Isaiah going to do? There's only one ball, right? There's only one basketball.
Right.
What's Isaiah Thomas going to do with the Cavs if LeBron's there?
But as a point guard, aren't you supposed to distribute that ball?
You are.
If we learned anything from
Norm Van Leer, we know that. Put my foot up your ass. Tell you what. That's for Zay. Look, and the Cavaliers got a basically an entirely new team, right? Out of the deal.
That's what it feels like. It feels like you're playing poker and you go, give me four.
Yes. And you get two pair.
Yeah.
Or you get a full house with the one card he kept.
Right. I mean, Shumpert helped them in the finals from the three-point line, but losing him,
right. Yeah, it's whatever.
Losing Derrick Rose, that's a footnote at this point.
That's a win. That's addition by subtraction.
Correct.
And Derrick Rose, how the mighty fell, right? Yeah, this guy was NBA MVP.
That's a full podcast we might do later on.
And I love, I appreciate Derrick Rose, but he buried himself. He did this all to himself. Don't think for one second that, it was the Bulls that did this to him or whatever. No, it was his mouth that did this to him.
It is.
You can't write checks your ass can't cash.
They chose him over Tibbs. Speaking of Tibbs, he's back in town Friday, I believe.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, him and Jimmy and Taj and the whole band. Getting the band back together.
Are they going to come on that the Squares bus like the Partridge Family? All decked out. Playing Jeezy through the speakers in the bus. That'd be awesome. Young Jeezy, just them rolling in on a Partridge Family bus. Oh, where's a video of that?
Right?
Give me that.
Give me Gabe Kaplan. Give me a little Welcome Back Cotter,
John. John Sebastian, my guy. Look, I don't know. Like, the Bulls are, when you're trying to tank, I don't know. Tank's maybe the wrong word. I don't know. But they just seem like they're, by tanking, I guess. I mean, they're trying not to win a whole lot of games.
John Paxson on the radio, Joe, told me that the Bulls never try to lose.
Yeah, right.
They always try to put the best team on the floor. So if John says it.
It must be true.
No.
No, it's a lie. Anything that comes out of their mouth's a lie. Garpax. And, you know, the Bulls are going to be bad for. There are some bright spots.
The foreseeable future?
Like if Zach LaVine can play defense, if Chris Dunn doesn't stop busting his face on the court, literally, you know, right?
Hey, those are my teeth.
Hey, look at those. Those are my teeth on the floor. That's great. They have a shot. If they can draft well, they're going to have a decent draft pick, and they get the Pelicans draft pick back when they traded Nico. As long as it's not top five, they get that pick. So in theory, they could be picking 4 and 6 or 5 and 6, you know, or even maybe 3 and 7 or whatever. Because the Pelicans are probably going to make the playoffs.
Right.
You know.
And the Bulls are going to be ping pong balls.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
They're going to get a high percentage of ping pong balls. Yes. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them. For sure. I like the Bulls. I want to like the Bulls so bad.
Right.
But give me a reason.
You called to talk about the boo, Joe.
I did. But that's not why he called. But yeah, I want the Bulls to be good. I do. For the league, it's good. For ratings for the league, it's good. For the city of Chicago, it's good. But they're just not, I don't know, they're just not good right now.
Should we move on from sports and head to music?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
I love me some music. I should say that is, let me preface all of this music.
Correct.
Before we leave sports 100%, that I make my living on sports. I work for Stats. The old Stats Inc.
So you know things.
I know a couple things.
I'm just a guy that was always out in the bleachers.
I have been.
I've never been in a press box.
I have been.
I don't know anything.
No, I know. I have actually been in a press box. Many of them. The one in Minnesota is nice at Target Field, but I digress. So it's a cool job. It doesn't suck. It affords me certain cred, if you want to say whatever.
That's what I want. Street cred.
But that's not why you called.
Because I'm a fan, Joe.
My big thing has always been and will continue to be music. The coolest job I've ever had in my life was at a record store.
Mine too.
Yeah. And I made minimum wage and I didn't care. Right? Because I got to. Yeah, there was some. You had to help people, obviously. But giving suggestions and having them come back a week later and going, you know, that was a great call. Do you have anything else? Stuff like that. It was very fulfilling. And I'm a way more music nerd than I'm a sports nerd.
And how much did you get to learn about music working at Hegwisch, Joe? I mean,
I'm telling you.
When I was working at Rose in Geneva,
yep.
I would put on a John Coltrane, which I knew nothing about.
Right.
And I learned to love jazz. I learned to love Sinatra. Yeah. I learned to love all these things that I was never exposed to before, but now I had the time to do it.
Yeah, and it helped to have a manager, at least at the store in Richmond Park, that were kind of on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, you need to hear this branch of this thing you like, or
right.
you need to hear this thing. Because in high school, especially later in junior, senior high school, big metalhead, big hard rock guy, suburban Chicago kid. That's kind of what I was at the time. And then my nephew turned me on to some music, and then working at Hegwisch Records, it opened an entire genre of music that I loved and I haven't looked back from.
I mean, that was the open vein for me, Joe, is that things you like, they come from things.
Yes.
And you get to like do the whole family tree and find out why this sounds like this and this sounds like this. And it's infectious.
I'll give you an example. At the time, REM put out Life Search Pageant. I think it was about that time. That was about 88, 89, somewhere in there. And I heard it. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? Like, I'd never heard REM before. I'm like, what is this? And the store manager was like, oh, you like that album? Well, here's their last album. You know, Reconstruction of the Fables. And I'm like, oh, it's even better. And Murmur, like, oh my God, right? Like once the door gets opened, and I think we're both this way. Once the door gets open on a band, we kick it in if we like it, and learn and gobble up as much as we can about that band.
Right.
Jason turned me on to a band called Drive-By Truckers, and I became just the biggest Truckers fan, listened to everything they did, all the solo albums, anything possible, get my hands on. And
it's like a class. I mean, when you find something you like, you want to learn the most about it you possibly can.
Right.
And so when I hear people say, yeah, I like music a lot, I listen to it in the radio, I don't know who the bands are, but wait, what? You don't know who the bands are?
That doesn't equate with me. Right. Like, how do you not, and this is the music nerd, is like, how do you not just take that and go, I want to learn more about this
person. I
want to
know everything about it.
I
want to
know
what they
YouTube,
play.
I want to know what they did. Right.
I know what their amps are.
And it was way, way harder to do that back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
When we worked at
record stores. The internet.
Yeah. Like, now on the internet, you've got our guy, one of our favorite artists combined with Jason Isbell, doing a rig rundown of his entire rig for an hour. And it wasn't just him. I mean, it was the other guys in the band. But most of it was him going, oh, yeah, it's this guitar. We have it set up this way. We have this amp. We have this pedal. It's over here. And also, it's.
And I've got old. I know. We've got old timers out there right now that are going, yeah, you know, we wanted to know that stuff too. And what we did trial and error. We found it out. Yep. We tried this, didn't work. Tried that, didn't work.
Right, exactly. Right. Back in my day, we just learned it. We just tried to learn it. And that's not to say we can't, because we do. And I should also say that we play music. We record music. We've recorded 100 songs, probably 80 of which are
13 albums.
Are originals. Like, we write our own songs, we record them. We find recording music and making music very fulfilling, very, very fulfilling to our souls. I know, at least I do. I know Jason does.
Correct.
Tom, engineer, have you heard our stuff? Yeah? Did you like it?
He's on it.
Yeah, he loves it.
He's the drummer.
I'm just kidding. He's the drummer. But yeah, it's very, music fulfills a lot. It conveys a lot of emotion. It can bring out a lot of emotion, good and bad. Reminiscing, memories. Like, you hear one song, it just like takes you back to a spot in your life. Like, oh, crap, I remember that. Like, oh, I was here for this. I remember this song? It took me here. And I did this. And it can bring back a flood of memories, right? Music does that to people.
Well, it does it to me, more so than smell.
Yes. I agree with that. Yes. Sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm just kidding. But yeah, we are much more. I know we started the first, I don't know, 35 minutes of this podcast talking about sports.
And we like will.
Sports. And we like sports. And we will continue to talk about sports. But we didn't want a podcast of just sports. Like, that can get old quick.
There's a few of those.
There are. And God bless them. But we wanted to hit to all fields. We want to spray to all fields, usually sports euphemism. So we're going to talk about music for a minute. So a week or two ago, at Saturday Night Live, one of my rabbit hole artists, ones that I kind of discovered backwards, Chris Stapleton, was on Saturday Night Live. And I don't know if it wasn't publicized at first, but another new country artist was with him, Sturgill Simpson, who we are huge fans of. We love Sturgill Simpson, and I love Chris Stapleton. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Jason does too, but
I'm on board.
Yeah. Those two guys killed it on SNL for sure. And this is piggyback on either last season or the season before. I want to say last season.
Yep.
That Sturgill was on by himself.
Correct. Doing Call to Arms.
Doing Call to Arms. Switched it up. Apparently, he told the network he was going to do a different song, like Elvis Costello with him. Not live on the air, Elvis, but he just started the song. Like he, you know. That's not the first time it's happened. Bob Mould did it. On his last appearance on Letterman, he played one song, and they thought that was all he was going to play, but it was only like a 2.5 minute long song. So he just turned to the band and goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then killed it into another song that was another 2.5 minute song. So he took up 5 minutes of airtime.
Amazing.
And was literally so loud, things were falling off the ceiling at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Yeah. So bands like that, like Sturgill Simpson and Chris Stapleton, that's kind of our sweet spot as current music people. That's kind of where we like to go. It's called Americana music. You can call it whatever you want. Country.
Red dirt,
whatever. Yeah, right. You can call it whatever you want. We just think it's good music. And good music's going to win the day eventually. Like, that's the way it's going to be. And I think Chris Stapleton, Sturgill Simpson, Jason Isbell, those guys, all those new Nashville guys.
They're produced by one guy, aren't they?
They are. All produced by the same guy who's in the background on SNL. Yeah, he's back there. He's back over to the left playing the third guitar back there. His name's Dave Cobb.
Dave Cobb played with Sturgill and Chris Stapleton on stage.
Correct.
At SNL.
And produced, I don't know if he produced, he might have produced Sturgill's last album. But I know he produced all the Chris Stapleton, Traveler, In Room A, Part 1 and Part 2, or in a room, Part 1 and 2. By the way, In A Room means the A studio at RCA Studios in Nashville. It does not mean like a room.
A room.
Right. It's A Room, not a room. In A Room, Part 1.
In Nashville, where was Elvis? Was he A or B?
A.
I would assume A.
I think a big majority of the hits on RCA Country back in the day were recording that studio, and that studio was going to close. And then a philanthropist in Nashville bought it and told Dave Cobb, "I trust you with it. Go." And
bless their heart.
Bless it. Right. Because who knows? We may not have gotten any of this stuff, right? At least not as good as it is.
Right.
Like we wouldn't have gotten 3 Jason Isbell albums, 2 of which won Grammys. Chris Stapleton's won Grammys.
Wait,
Sturgill's won Grammys. Like Sturgill, the best, if you had to say, we'll put links. We're going to put a few YouTube links in. There's a YouTube link of Sturgill Simpson at the Country Music Awards in Nashville.
Busking.
Busking, meaning street performing, outside with his Grammy in the case. like his Grammy for his album is in the case.
It's holding the top part up.
Yeah. In the case, during the Country Music Awards, which he was not even nominated for. Not a single one was he nominated for.
Well, he has different politics, that Sturgill.
He does. He is a very free thinker.
It offends some folks.
It might, but Sturgill's like, I don't care. Like, this is the music I'm going to make.
Correct.
I mean, his first hit was about tripping on LSD, or tripping in general. Like, just like, what? Like, that, how is this country? And it's not. I mean, the country doesn't want that.
Well, the country part comes in that he sounds exactly like Waylon Jennings.
Yes.
At least to me.
Yes, he does. And, you know, like Brad Paisley and George Strait and name X country artist.
They're not outlawed, Joe.
They're not. And they're not even, And it's not even that they don't necessarily want to be that way, because Brad Paisley, for example, is a very good guitar player.
He's a great guitar player.
He's very good. But
and a nice guy.
And I'm sure he's a fine human being.
Right.
But it's not in his financial best interest to sway,
no.
to swerve from
no.
the center line of what he does.
He doesn't want to pull a Dixie Chicks.
No. No, 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 no. That would cost him way too much money and endorsements. And I mean, his nationwide deal with Peyton Manning alone would be gone. That's Oof. It. All that fat nationwide insurance money, out the window. He doesn't want to lose that. Nobody wants to lose that. Who would
no more
lose
nationwide
that
Dosh.
No. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the first episode.
Yes, sir.
Of It's That Podcast. We think we hit a home run here. We hope you like it. Please visit our website. It's That
At
Podcast.
Least, can of corn.
At least a can of corn. At the very least. It's That Podcast.com. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/It's That Pod. And we welcome you to our new endeavor. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you were entertained. And we'll see you next time on It's That Podcast.